Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. New year, still a getaway Friday. Getaway Friday, January the 2nd, 2026. How about that, right? First time I had to say it, I got it right. January the 2nd, 2026, 15 minutes past the hour, and we're back. Hope you had a wonderful New Year's holiday, New Year's celebration. I know a lot of people did not, because on New Year's Eve, the Ohio State Buckeyes were defeated by the Miami Hurricanes rather soundly, 24-14, in what Yahoo Sports is calling the biggest upset in college football playoff history. So there you go. Now, I'm not going to say I predicted this, because I did not predict it on the air, but I will say, and you'll just have to take my word on this, on New Year's Eve, I was talking to some people before the game started, and I think they were placing a wager on the game. Now, I did not place a wager on the game, but I said, I do not have a good feeling about this game, because during the course of the season, Ohio State really only had one difficult game. That was with Texas. They did not win that game overwhelmingly. Michigan, which they exercised that demon after losing 4 years in a row, but I think people thought that was a bigger deal than it was. Michigan was not a good team. And then they lost the Big Ten championship to Indiana. I don't want to say handily, but Indiana had control of that game. I don't think anybody would deny that. So the fact that Ohio State lost was really no surprise to me, and lost big. Never had the lead in the entire game. Really no shock. But somebody it might be a shock to is our good friend Bob Welsh, because he left a prediction here on Wednesday, 35-13, Ohio State. Boy, was that way off. I'm glad he didn't place a wager on this game, but he is back this morning here, first Friday in 2026. Bob, boy, oh boy, what in the world happened?
I will own up to that prediction. what happened? I don't know.
Do you think there's any truth to what I have said here? That Buckeye fans, I think, got a little overconfident. They feel like they exercised the demon of Michigan. They had an undefeated regular season, which it was really a cakewalk season. But when they didn't win the Big Ten championship, that's when I first started to think, maybe this team isn't as good as people are prognosticating.
Well, I mean, if you look at last year, they lost the Michigan game, but they came back and won the national championship.
Well, they had to. His job was on the line
last year. And so that could have happened this year as well. They lost the Big Ten championship to Indiana, and they could have come back. And there are a lot of factors that maybe spelled their doom, you know, the long layoff, although I think the layoffs could have helped them. A lot of them were kind of gimpy after Indiana, and they needed some rest and recovery, you know. So that there's a factor there. Then losing the offensive coordinator might have been a factor, and maybe overconfidence was a factor. I don't know. You know.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of things went into that. You know, and you know, it is what it is now.
Well, I mean, I just feel, as I said, that I think maybe there was overconfidence on the fans' behalf. Because I think they did not realize, if you look at that schedule, and you look at the games that they won and the games that they lost, what was their big accomplishment this year besides beating a Michigan team who had been defeated by several other teams during the course of the season?
Well, I mean, they beat Texas.
Yeah, that's it. You
got
it.
They beat Oregon. You know.
Well, but these are not giganto wins, because look what happened to Texas and Oregon. They didn't go very far this year.
Yeah, but I mean, they played the schedule they were given.
Right, but I think there's an overconfidence in that.
Maybe.
And I also think that when they lost to Indiana on December the 6th, that should have been a big red flag to people about what maybe the future held. And also, I've said this for years, there's something about Ryan Day, different than Woody Hayes, different than Earl Bruce, different than John Cooper, different than Urban Meyer, different than Jim Tressel, in that, and I'm not trying to knock the guy, but he does choke. The only game I've never seen, the only big game where I've never seen him choke was the one national championship that he won. When it comes down to a game with pressure on it that he should win, he doesn't. And he doesn't play it well. And that was another thing. I mean, you can lose to Miami. That's not devastating. But he didn't play well. He didn't make good calls. There were weird things that he did in that game that even the most ardent Ohio State fan would say, what are you doing?
Yeah. I have a friend who firmly believes that OSU will choke every evening game.
Well, they do choke. There's something about the pressure of a game in which they are not just any kind of pressure on the game. They just don't do well.
I mean, and the thing with any loss, any mistake, anything, you're supposed to learn from that. You know, you learn from your losses. What did we do wrong? How do we, you know, get better? And Indiana, you know, like Michigan last year, you know, had a lot to teach, and I don't think they learned their lessons from the loss of Indiana.
Well, I think the sad thing for Ryan Day was it was very clear after the fourth loss to Michigan last year that he nothing short of winning the national title was going to keep his job. He did that last year, so he did keep the job, but here we go again. He exercised the Michigan demon and then has what Yahoo Sports is calling the biggest upset in college football playoff history. So I think he's right back into the frying pan. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. You know, I think them being ranked number one, as long as they were this year, I think Texas was number one at the beginning of the year and Ohio State was two. And when we beat them, we went to number one. But I think a team, when they're got a little chip on their shoulder or something, you know, will play better. When you go through the season and you're hyped up and you're hyped up, I mean, they wasn't as good as what, you know, all the talk was.
Oh, clearly. Clearly.
Yeah.
They were not. But do you think that, you know, they did not lose five in a row to Michigan, but Michigan was not only not a good team, we learned after that game that their head coach was obviously in some peril at that time. And now I'm starting to wonder if their coach was not in all that peril, would they have done better? They might have.
But Michigan is not a bad team. I mean, they was ranked in the, what was it, 18th or something?
Right,
like that.
But I mean, how many games did they lose along the way in the regular season?
They was 9-2.
Right, so they'd lost two. Ohio State had lost none. You would think Ohio State should win that game, and they did.
They did, yeah.
But then they go on to Indiana, and I think people thought they were the giant killers now because they had beat Michigan for the first time in 4 years, and that just was not. Not the truth. It just wasn't the case.
You know, the defense didn't play well. They didn't get turnovers, you know, like they normally do. The offense, the passing attack, just in the last two games, I don't know, you know, those schools must have figured out a way to, they took the passing attack. Ohio State's always known for their receivers and their passing attack and throwing down the field, but that just didn't happen either.
Well, and Indiana beat them, but did not, I'm not going to say they dominated them. Miami dominated them. And I think this is where that choke factor comes in. It just seemed as if Ryan Day had no clue how to combat Miami, had no clue how to come from behind. And I think that's why people like Yahoo Sports are calling it the biggest upset in college football playoff history. It really was not even a game at any point during that game.
Yeah, even, you know, Indiana, you know, was in control that game too.
Yeah, Indiana had a control, but there were spots where Ohio State could have come back. In the Miami game, there was really not.
No
there was
way.
Not a spot. I mean, they got within 7 at one point.
I knew this. That game was over.
Yeah. So, what does this say about Ryan Day? I mean, obviously, he's not going to be fired for this because he did beat Michigan. But when he comes back next year, I mean, what is his legacy? He's been there long enough now to have a legacy. 4 straight losses to Michigan, 1 national championship, and then the biggest upset in college football playoff history. What is this man's legacy with all those other great coaches?
His legacy is going to be similar to Cooper. Cooper was a good coach and everything, but when you got him in big games, he choked too.
Yeah, and I don't even know that Cooper choked this much. Cooper didn't win games, but in those days, coming off the Earl Bruce era, Ohio State did not have the best teams. Nobody thought Ohio State was going to walk in and, you know, be the giant killer that they have been coming off the Tressel years and the Urban Meyer years. I think it's just a different team now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for calling in. Stay with us this morning.
See you, Bob.
Happy New Year.
All right. So, well, what's your assessment, Bob?
He had a lot of good points. I think with the new NCAA rules, the transfer portals, the NIL and everything, we have a whole new culture, and John Cooper wasn't the greatest football coach, but I don't think we can compare ourselves to that era anymore. We're not going to have people staying at the university for 3 or 4 years anymore. I mean, we're not going to grow and develop a team. We're going to go out and buy a team. And I think that's going to be the big difference going forward. And does OSU have the money to buy a new team? Yes, they do.
They do, but I'm not sure that this is the team's problem. I really don't know, because somebody was making the calls in that game the other night that were not great.
Well, that's what I said. You know, the loss of their offensive coordinator really showed. And Earl Bruce made me a... Not Earl Bruce. Boy, you got me going backwards here.
Yeah.
And no Irish coffee today either. But Ryan Day may not be the best offensive coordinator. You know, he might be a great head coach, but he needs an offensive coordinator in there who's going to go in and get the win.
Is he a great head coach? Can we really say that if you look at the span of coaches since the 1970s, no, really 1960s, can you really say that he's great?
Well, other than the Michigan, he's got a great record.
He has a great record, but one national championship.
Far better than John Cooper.
Well, I don't know. You know, as far as wins, yes, but as far as competing in the big games, I don't think it's much better than John Cooper.
Yeah, I remember, you know, during the Earl Bruce years, people were upset about the 9-3 records every year, 9-3, 9-3, 9-3, and then John Cooper comes along. We're going to the national championship. We're going to, you know, he comes in at what, 6-5, 6-6.
Well, didn't John Cooper win a national championship at one point?
I believe at one point he did. But
I think he did.
It was a long haul to get there.
It was a long haul. Go ahead, caller.
Sean Spears, how the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Well, that game was a humdinger, wasn't it?
It was a mess for Ohio State fans, that's for sure.
I don't understand why Ryan Day took the play calling on that one. I'd like to know the behind the scenes on that one.
I would just like to know what his nerves are. I'm not saying it to be facetious, because I'm not a big football fan, as people know, but it's just apparent to me that something happens to him when there's a lot on the line.
I realize that he took over play calling for that game, but Hartline was still there.
I do, but the four years they lost to Michigan, and one of those years at least, they really should have won. That didn't happen. The Indiana game, they should have won that. It didn't happen this season. Other than the national championship,
well,
he just does
our
not.
Kicker, I mean, how many games has our kicker lost for us this year? 2 that I can think of.
Yeah, but I don't know that he could have saved that game, honestly. I felt that Indiana dominated that game.
We should have beat Indiana. We should have had 6 more points than we had, because he missed 2 field goals.
Right. And I just don't know. There's just something.
But we didn't deserve to be there. Clear. I told my husband as we were watching the game, I said, I'd been saying it all season, we didn't play anyone. We didn't play anyone tough to actually test our mettle.
Well, that's the problem.
We deserve to be number one. And then when we got to playing some teams, maybe we were a little too young or a little too deer in the headlights. I mean, there was the time where Julian Sand needed 2 yards for us to it was 3rd and 2. He needed 2 yards, and he just stood there looking to who should throw the ball. Are your legs concrete, son? Can they not move?
Well, see, that's what I did not understand. And like I say, I am not a football aficionado. But when I was having the conversation, just with the facts and no emotion involved in it, prior to the game on Wednesday, I was saying, you know, yes, they have a good record because of the teams that they play, but the loss to Indiana should really be in this conversation going into Wednesday night. And the fact that they beat Michigan...
Indiana handled their game pretty well yesterday. I can't remember what it was, but I think they won by more than 30 points, if I'm not mistaken.
Considerably. I think 30-something to 3. Did
like
Alabama ever...
They're 39-3 or something like
over
that.
Over Alabama, which is not a poor...
Yeah.
Poor school. So, you know, I look at that, and I really think there was so much jubilation that they had beat Michigan that people forgot that Michigan is not a great team right now.
No, because they got it handed to them yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. And they had
their behinds handed to them.
And they had 2 losses going into the Ohio State game. It's not like they were an undefeated school.
Texas? I can't remember exactly who they played. I looked it all up, but I can't remember. I don't know what Dave's thing is. I don't, like, I wasn't angry. I'm still not angry, you know, but he you guys are right. He gets to his big games, and he just kind of doesn't. He's lost.
You know, but how many times in the post-game conference can he come in and say some form of, yes, it's my fault? Which he did again on New Year's Eve, but he does this all the time. Okay, well, it is your fault. We do blame you. We got it.
Well, the buck always stops technically with the head coach, but I've not been one for fire him when we've lost to Michigan, as painful as it's been, and I just roll over and go to sleep after the game is over, regardless of what time it happened. I've never been one to call for his head just because he can't win that one game, but like this one, man, you went to play calling when Brian Hartline's standing right there. He's been called a winning season all year. He's standing right there. Explain to us why he wasn't the one calling the plays. He wasn't going to sabotage us or anything else, and clearly he cared enough to show up to the game, so why wasn't he the one calling the plays?
Well, there are two things.
It was clearly too much for Day to call the... If you're negative 1 yard rushing in the 3rd quarter, why the hell are you still trying to run the ball up the middle?
Well, and I think 2 points here. I think this is why Yahoo News, Yahoo Sports, is calling it the biggest upset in college football.
I don't know about that. Who'd we beat last year? That was a pretty big upset. Excuse me. That might just be a little painful as a Buckeye fan to hear it's the biggest ever. I hope Miami goes on to win now, though.
Yeah, but I mean, these are all just opinions, but this is what they called it, the biggest upset in college football playoff history. And
stop,
I think
saying it, Spears, we get it. It hurts.
Well, okay. But I feel in radio you do have to repeat these things to get your point across.
No, you've said it like 4 times now, man.
Well, filling time here this morning.
It hurts.
Did you hear it was the biggest upset in college football history according to Yahoo Sports?
No.
It was.
Where would you hear that?
I don't know.
Hang up.
I don't know. But in any event, I think the reason is because Ohio State is so highly regarded, and they are judged so solely on their record, which is, you know, basically one hard team, one difficult team, and the rest more or less easy teams to play. And I think this is what happened. And I think Ryan Day, because of that, is seen as some kind of, excuse me, God on the Ohio State campus and in the college football world.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I think that's...
On the campus, for sure.
Right, and because that's what they always go back to. That's what Ohio State goes back to. They go, well, look at his record overall. Look at his record overall. Well, yeah, but let's look at the teams he played.
I'm going to go with what Bob said here. This NIL stuff has changed college ball so much to where we are buying teams now, and it's like what you said about Bama. They have big money. I mean, the school itself has, I can't remember, there were so many legacy teams and families there that were pledging money when this NIL stuff first went in place, that Alabama itself had like $10 million to pay players, and that didn't count for any of the, you know, any of their endorsements or anything like that. So smaller schools that weren't as dominant before are able to buy and assemble these teams now. But now I was thinking about this, husband and I were talking about this. Everybody's mad about the expanded playoffs and how it was just for money and all this other stuff. You know what? If teams like Miami are able to get in there and beat Ohio State, then the playoffs need expanded, because we're clearly not including enough good teams in there, because Miami was good enough to hand our behinds to us.
Yeah, but I don't know if you want to agree with Bob on this, because in what Yahoo News called the biggest upset in college football playoff history, Bob's prediction on Wednesday was 35-13 Ohio State, and clearly that did not happen.
I didn't listen. I haven't. I was on a little vacay, road trip.
Well, why aren't you quoting me as the biggest, predictor of an offset? You know,
yeah, you predicted the biggest upset in college football playoff history.
Well,
I don't think you realize. Hey, by the way, Matt Morgan has joined us. Matt, go ahead. What's your assessment of all this?
Bob predicted the most giant, worst loss.
Yeah.
Upset in the history of mankind.
He did not predict the biggest upset in college football playoff history, according to Yahoo Sports.
Probably even at the NFL at this point. The biggest upset in just football history in general.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you what, people were certainly upset on Wednesday night. I'll tell you that. New Year's Eve, they were certainly upset. Go to social media.
Yeah. We deserved to lose. From the first quarter, we deserved to lose. So we got what we deserved.
Boy, but I'll tell you, social media was a funny thing on New Year's Eve, because I did not have to be here the next morning, so I did pay attention to that. I'll tell you, those Ohio State fans, what a bunch of turncoats. As soon as that first quarter was over, this game's over, I'm going to bed, it's done, it's over.
See, I watched it to the end.
Oh, I loved it. I thought, gee whiz.
I said from the first quarter, I said, if we lose this game, then we deserve to lose it. I wasn't like, I'll never watch Ohio State again. I'm not a fair weather
fan. Oh, they
fan.
Went ballistic. Hey, you know who predicted this game? You know who predicted this game on social media? City Councilman Ron Prater. I hate to bring the politicals into this, but he did.
Well, I mean, we could talk about how the county's bankrupt, too.
We got a whole morning. We got a whole morning.
I've got a meeting this morning, but I heard you guys. I was like, I got to listen to what Spears has got to say. After that Davis, or the interview you did with Davis the other day, I was like, yeah, I got to listen, get back into having to listen to Spears.
Yeah.
I didn't take you to Louisiana with me, sorry.
Oh, you missed out. We had a great holiday season. So, Matt, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, you know, made my New Year's, honestly. Best thing that could have ever happened. I'm rooting for Indiana to win the whole thing.
I am too. Indiana and Miami.
They could.
No, I mean,
my attorney went to Indiana.
I would. I don't know. I would fire Ryan Day, honestly.
Oh, come on.
No, like, look. I said it last year. I would have fired him after he lost the game to Michigan, and then he won the national championship, and I was like, all right, he's not going to lose his job this time. But this year we beat Michigan, but we should have beat him last year, so again, don't know why we didn't beat them last year to begin with.
And their coach was busy doing other things, we've learned.
Yep.
He had a bunch of other irons in the fire.
We did beat them this year. And also,
you are from an era of Ohio State continually winning. We cannot expect to win every single game and every single championship every single season.
Well, all I'm saying is, when I have, Julian Sain was in the race for the Heisman. He lost it to Indiana's quarterback. The Ohio State's defense has like five projected first round players. Their offense has Wes Cornell Tate. They have I almost said JSN. He's no longer there. It's
Judkins.
Well, they.
Judkins is playing for Cleveland. Well, he was. He just got injured.
Who knows?
Marvin Harrison Jr. Not Marvin. Man, what's his name?
Sonny Styles, or Lorenzo Styles Jr. Sonny Styles is going to the
NFL. Well, I don't know. Either way, they have like six or seven projected first-round picks.
We're an NFL factory.
All I'm saying is, if you have that many NFL first-round projected players on your team, you should have won the national championship. They have an NFL defense. They should have won that game.
Matt comes in here with a whisper this morning. He's all fired up this morning.
What a great year already.
Entire NFL full of players who were college stars that don't win games every Sunday.
There's a whole bunch of college stars. They're all college stars.
Ohio State is not going to completely feed the NFL.
You don't make it to the NFL if you're a nobody in college.
There are other NFL stars playing for other teams that will be drafted. that are in the running for all of these awards.
I would just like, they put like six on one defense? I mean, you get 11 players on a defense. If you have six NFL players on a defense, you have an NFL defense right there.
Okay, we will have six go to the NFL, but they won't all be first round.
I would just like to point out, if you're tuning in, this is January 2nd, 2026, 39 minutes past the hour. We're talking what Yahoo Sports has called the biggest upset in college football playoff history. Miami's win. Yeah, did you hear
fan.
That? Bob, have you heard it?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't heard that
anymore.
I don't
know if Matt is a Browns fan.
I don't root for any Ohio team. I think it's awfully boring. You got to pick against the home state. It makes things more interesting. You get more arguments that way.
Okay.
Well, you certainly do.
Okay, now people want to call me the contrarian, and you...
Oh, no.
Specifically against Ohio teams.
I have said at least a billion times now that I do not care about college football. That's why I root against Ohio State, because I think it's just funnier when they lose, because people get upset. I mean, that's about it.
So then you don't get to laugh very often because we don't lose very
Oh! Oh! What a twist.
Twist that knife one more time.
But, okay.
What was that? What?
Oh, man. That was heavy duty right there. Look, that was good.
Ohio State.
You know, like when you hit the tennis ball over the net and it comes flying back at you? That's what that was.
Yeah, it hits you in the nose.
Hits you right in the nose.
Ohio State. Has
one of the best teams in the
nation. Bob, we're not dying this morning. We're starting heavy.
If you have a defense,
and he didn't bring
that has, like I said, six projected first round players. Now, sure, will they all go in the first round? Maybe not.
Yeah, they will all go in the first round.
Projected first round players, meaning they're going to go first, second, or third at the absolute latest.
Like I said, you're used to the past 15 years, basically your whole life, of us dominating the football world, and you find one loss a season funny. I find it impressive. And if you're going to win to the years prior that we lost to Michigan. Now we know they all cheated, but we lost to Michigan, and they went on to win the national championship. So, I mean, you lost to the best country in the land. I mean, that's a shameful loss, isn't it? And I think
lost
Miami's probably going to make it to the championship game, too.
Well, they could.
So, if you get beat by the champions, are you really that big of a loser?
Well, I mean, if you're not the champion, you're a loser. I hate to break it to you. That's kind of how it works.
Okay.
If you get to the Super Bowl and you don't win the Super Bowl, at that point, honestly, I'd rather be the... Super Bowl and be the worst team in the NFL.
I'd rather be number 32 than number 2.
Absolutely, because if I'm number 32, I get the first pick. If I win the Super Bowl, I won the Super Bowl. So I win-win. I either want to be the best or the worst.
Wow.
Listen, I don't know...
The first pick or the 32nd pick?
I don't know anything about the Super Bowl this year. I just know nobody's going to be watching because the Chiefs are not in it. It will not be the most watched Super Bowl. There's my prediction. It will not be the most watched Super Bowl of all time, as it has been the last 2 years, because the Chiefs are not in it. You can take that one to the bank.
I think it will be. Bad Bunny is going to carry the
show. You want to bet that one?
I would, but yeah.
You think it'll be more watched? Bob, what do you think?
I plan on spending the day watching Taylor Swift videos.
There you go.
I don't know. It depends on what's going on that day, but I doubt we watched the Super Bowl because I've only watched the last 2 years because of Taylor Swift.
Yep, I agree with you. There will be a Bad Bunny controversy. It will be like the Janet Jackson controversy years ago.
I'll probably turn in for that, just so I can see. But
I think people will watch the Super halftime show. I think that will happen. Yeah. But the game itself will not have the cachet because she, like it or not, Taylor Swift brought it to the game. And when
well,
we get
you know
the Rams.
I like it.
What's that?
I like it. I'm a Swiftie.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
the Kansas City Chiefs like it.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it, and that she will not be there, and they will not get to pan her every 15 minutes like they and all the celebrities up there. It'll be a different type of a game this year for the first time in 2 years.
She was in the box at one of the Kansas City Chiefs game, and she had this little camera thing so she could see telescopic, I guess, onto the field, and the camera panned to her using this little camera thing. And I don't know what store it was, but they sold out within 24 hours.
Yeah, she's got an audience. And even if let's say she brought 5% of the audience to the Super Bowl, a minuscule, that 5% audience is not going to be there, and it will not be the most watched Super Bowl of all time. And, that's just the way it is.
She's phenomenal.
Well, the fact that somebody would say that it still will be and not exactly know what the Super Bowl is going to be just tells you that's more of an anger toward Taylor Swift.
Oh, Matt hates all things that are good. He hates the Buckeyes. He hates Taylor Swift. What else do you hate? Kittens, Matt?
Happy New Year.
I love the cats. Dislike cake, though. You can throw that one in there, I guess. I think most people like cake. Dislike pizza. You can throw the pizza in there.
He dislikes pizza. Yeah. See, this is how he is on a normal day.
Oh, my goodness. And like I said, and I'm known as the contrarian.
Well, stay with us. I'm sure we got more to talk about this morning if you can.
I hope you guys take care.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. See, Bob thought we were dying here on Monday and Tuesday. I told you, Bob, people are on vacation. Before the new year, it's a whole different thing.
Well, when you're calling up cemetery headstone places for to fill the time.
Different type of show.
I think you're
different.
Dying,
different. Right? Well, I don't know. People like that. You know, there used to be a lot of that going on here. We'd get an old newspaper or an old story. But I guess the punchline. Well, here we go. See, here we go again. It just doesn't stop here this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah,
took his words away.
Teams, college. Schools would love to have the pedigree that Ohio State has.
I think you caught up to talk
about.
There's
not many schools that can, show a pedigree of winning consistently for years. You know, like Ohio State has. But, you know, I don't know why you don't root for Ohio State, Matt. I mean,
he's a contrarian.
Yeah, I mean, like Bob said, I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't root for Ohio State because I don't really care about college football. That's about it. I watch the NFL. I don't really care about college football. So I root against Ohio State because when Ohio State loses, it's just funnier to make fun of the Ohio State fans. There's a lot of them around here. We live in Ohio.
I think if OSU changed the name to Alaska State University, Matt might root for him.
But you like the pro ball.
I do like pro ball.
If you watch college ball, you get to see players that are going to be coming to the pros.
Oh, you mean like Jeff Okuda when he was drafted to the... You mean when he was, like, drafted to the Lions and then did absolutely nothing? Yeah, you'll have that. You mean like Ezekiel Elliott? He did good the first year, and then after that, his numbers consistently declined every year.
We didn't need to show up for the first hour.
College is not the same as the NFL. You could be the best player. I mean,
that's right.
Who was Johnny Manziel, widely considered the biggest bust in NFL history. Johnny Manziel was the best quarterback.
Wait a second, when people are talking at the same time, we can't hear anybody. So, okay, let's try this again. Go ahead, caller, then Matt, talk. Okay, go ahead. It's like The View here this morning. No, go ahead. Say what you were going to say, and then Matt can talk.
What?
I forget the point. Oh, that
I forgot it, too.
Have our pedigree. And Ohio State does so much for the state. You know, the hospitals down there. I mean, that's our pro team in Central Ohio. You know, Cleveland's got the Browns, Bengals, and Cincinnati. But, you know, I just would rather root for the hometown team rather than Alabama or Michigan or somebody like that.
I mean, you're right. I mean, Columbus will never have a pro team of the caliber of the Browns or the Bengals as long as OSU is dominating, you know, the scene. I mean, when you look at all the...
But I just think, you know, being ranked number one all through the season, it just kills you. Almost every time a number one team is ranked all through the season, I don't care what school it is, when they get in the playoffs, they choke.
You know, I've heard it was the biggest upset in college football history.
Yahoo Sports said that it was the biggest upset in college football playoff history.
Playoff? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I got it wrong.
Biggest of all time.
They was talked about how good they were all season.
Yeah.
How they had that dominant defense that...
The worm turns.
Patricia, whatever, guy... You know, came from the pros, and we didn't beat those schools by real handedly. A lot of our scores wasn't, you know, good. You know, some really good. You know, we didn't hand it to no school. You know, all through the season. We won, but we didn't have those 50, 40, 60-some points a game. So, you know, but you was talking about getting a new coach. Who would, at right now, who would you say would be a candidate for Ohio State that's better than Ryan Day?
I'd bring Urban Meyer back.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, he ain't coming back.
I think Urban Meyer said he'd come back.
Didn't the man get a lap dance in his own restaurant? You don't need that kind of drama.
That's when he was a Jaguars coach. He didn't do any of that at Ohio State. Jaguars.
That we know about.
Yeah, that we know about. And didn't he also defend and lie about the player who was having a domestic with his...
Coach.
Yeah,
yes.
Right, a coach. Yeah, well, you don't need that. That's why he got sent out of there in the first place.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know. I liked Urban Meyer.
Jim Tressel will be looking for a job at the beginning of next year.
Yeah, bring back Jim Tressel. Look at that. Bring him back.
I doubt it, Tressel.
Fire Ryan Day. Bring back Jim Tressel. I assume that that'll be a better boost.
Well, John Cooper's still alive. Maybe you can get him out there.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? He and Jim Tressel are similar in age at this point.
Yeah, I just watched your thing with Larry Barnett earlier.
Oh, how was that? That was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good show.
I thought that was good.
If I was Ohio State, I'd try to steal Nick Saban.
Good show, huh?
Yeah, how he got to be an umpire, you know, that was interesting to learn that he went down to Florida and, you know.
And I thought he and
in this class.
Yeah, and I thought he and Mary Ellen interacted very well. We had a holiday toast there on the set. It was fun. Did you like that we put the background music in, the Christmas background music in?
Yeah, that was good.
I was a real edited touch. By the way, if you want to see that episode, it is good. Just search Larry Barnett Exchange WGH Talk, and you can watch that on YouTube. Don't look now, but you can watch it later on when we're off the air.
I watched it earlier.
Yeah, well, you got up there. You go. It was a good. And our set not decorated for the holidays?
I didn't pay much attention to that.
Why don't we? We shouldn't even put it up anymore.
You did all that work for nothing.
I know. I feel terrible now. But, did you like when Mary Ellen put on the reef glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, people love that. People love it.
When Mary Ellen's there, I mean, it's always a good show.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
She's not going to be with us a whole lot longer, unfortunately.
Well, I will not bite your tongue. I hope she'll be with us.
I heard she's taking a job as OSU head coach.
OSU head coach. Either that or governor. I hear she's going one way or the other.
Well, that'd be good. Either one would be good.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right, 740-383, either the first female governor or the first female head coach of Ohio State. 740-383-9944. Well, that's the story of the biggest upset in college football playoff history. That was New Year's Eve. Hurt a lot of Buckeye fans' feelings. The loss to the Hurricanes. So it's over for Ohio State this season. And maybe that's the way it goes. Now, two things I want to talk about. Now, these are trivial things this first hour. Number one, I don't know where to start. Let's start here. This is going to be a shorter story, and maybe we'll get to the other one next hour. But I do not know what's going on. It is 84.2 degrees in this studio right now. Now, this is the third year we've been here during the winter. And we have one vent in this office and we shut it off because it does get warm in here. And this has never happened before. I don't know what is happening because the vent, as far as I know, is still shut. And it's still normally when we come in maybe 70, 75 because the building is just warm when it gets cold outside. But I have no idea. Nobody was in here for 3 days, and when I came in this morning, it was 83, 84.
84.
So I don't know what is going on. I don't know where the heat's even coming from at this point.
Well, and I don't know the layout of all the quarters of this studio, but I'm thinking at some point you should have a cold air return that might be blocked, because when I came in, I saw it was 84.2, and so I left the door open, and it dropped down to 83.
But then when Matt started talking, it got up to 84 again.
No, actually, Matt closed the door, and that brought it up another degree here. And so,
no, I don't think there is a cold air return because there's nothing.
Have you looked for one?
Yes, it's not hard. It's not hard to look around this studio
because once you open up a vent like the door and let the air out, it does cool rapidly.
Oh, I don't know about rapidly.
Well,
we were in here for 2 hours the other day. I think it went down 2 degrees.
Well, yeah, but that's because I left the door open.
No, but, I mean, no, there's no other vent in the studio, and it wouldn't be covered up anyway because we haven't covered up anything.
So if I found a vent, it would be the greatest upset in air conditioning history.
Air conditioning history. But the vent where we get the heat is over here, and this is the one that's shut. So I have no idea why, unless somebody opened this, which I have not got down and looked at, but I have no idea who would get down there and open up the vent.
Not me.
It gets pretty warm in here without the vent.
No, I'm just saying, we started out at 84. That has never happened.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I wouldn't hear the exact beginning, but yeah, no, when I stepped in here, I was like, geez.
Now, this could...
And you shut the door.
There's people in the hallway sometimes.
There's nobody
like
in the hallway.
Yeah,
not
but
right
now, but now this... Right, but, there could be today. But this could also have something to do with our neighbors, because if they have the heat up over there... that could also be an issue because only one wall separates us.
Possibly, but I don't think they're in today.
No, but that doesn't mean their heat's not up.
Yeah.
So they might have their heat regulated at a whole different thing because people are getting...
Tans.
Well, they're getting half nude over there.
Ooh.
And I assume they have to keep it warm in that particular area. Don't you have to get half nude for a spray tan?
I suppose you might.
Yeah. So that could be it as well. I'm guessing that's probably the big change.
It might be.
Yeah. Because if they've got the heat cranked over there, or they've got their vent open, it's going to obviously make the whole area here a little warmer.
So I'm thinking some morning Matt and I should take charge. He should go over there and get a tan.
No.
Yeah, that'd be nice,
wouldn't
it?
Like a road trip.
I don't know.
You know, in 56, I'm going to get to the next subject in the next hour.
I'll disappear for 3 weeks, come back and tell everybody I went to Florida or something.
The phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944, if anybody else would like to weigh in. But there is another thing of trivial nature that I want to tell. We'll open up next hour with that. Yeah, well, it's not trivial to me, but it's just annoying, I guess, more than anything else.
What, that Yahoo's calling who's the greatest upset?
Yeah, the greatest upset in college football playoff history. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, maybe you ought to drill a hole through the wall.
At least to see the...
Well, I don't know if I want to see everybody who's over there. See, you think that's a good idea till you see some of the people getting the spray tans. And then you realize you've made a mistake.
I remember years ago, Dad had, I think, 11 apartment buildings. Some of them had more than one unit in it. And the kid, it was a duplex left and right, and the kid drilled a hole through the closet wall because the couple next door, that was their bedroom, and he was spying on them.
Well, there you go. See,
we had to go in there and fix that.
Kids having fun. So, but by the way, have you become a Larry Barnett fan now?
Oh yeah.
Oh, there you go.
He seems like a good guy.
This station has brought you and Larry Barnett together after decades of hostility.
Cans across the water.
Well, yeah, I just didn't care for the way he talked about the fans because fans paying his salary, but.
He had gotten death threats.
It was a question I shouldn't have asked him, maybe. I don't know.
What was the question?
Now, you're going to want me to get all into it again.
No, I just don't really remember what the question was.
I believe the question was, have you ever made a bad call or something?
Was that it?
Did you ever make a bad call?
What'd Bob say?
Have you made a bad call?
Yeah. Has he ever made a bad call, you know?
That was your question.
Yeah.
And his response was what?
Oh, I don't know exactly what he said, but he went off in a rant, you know.
Oh.
Talking about the fans and stuff.
Well?
That was just it, I mean.
Maybe he had a bad day.
Could be.
Maybe he didn't have his coffee or something.
Well, I just took it as he... I don't know, by, you know, me asking him that question, him coming back with a, you know, I just thought, you know, the way his opinion of me was a little bit in there too.
Like I doubt it. Knowing Larry,
1981, I was driving a 1981 Corvette. You know, so he probably figured, you know,
well,
Daddy's, you know, bought him that Corvette. Daddy does everything for him, you know.
Well, my guess would be, from knowing Larry quite a while now, and every time pretty much getting the same guy when I see him, is that it probably had more to do with the questioning of his calls, which I'm sure he was sensitive about after the death threats that came in 1975.
Yeah. That very well could be.
So that's probably it. But hey, stay with us. We've got more show on the other side of this break coming up.
Okay.
All right, we've got Bob Welsh in the studio this morning. We've got Matt Morgan, and we've got a lot of show coming up because we'll be on through 1 o'clock this afternoon. Don't you dare go anywhere. We're coming back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.